Welcome to another inspiring Sister's Message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry.
You know, there are many doors we could focus on tonight, but I need to tell you that there are right doors and there are wrong doors. Yeah. You know, in life, doors will open for us, doors of opportunity. There are times when a door of romance will open to us, and sometimes it's the right door, and other times it's the wrong door, because there's criteria from the Word of God as to which door we should go through and enter when it comes to something as important as that. I'm going to be focused on that tonight, but I've called tonight's message, Position Yourself at the Right Door. Position yourself at the right door. A very important door in the history, and all we really have time for this evening, is, you know, the history of Israel is a door called the Sheep Door, or mainly translations call it the Sheep Gate. But we know that the door and gate is the same thing, right? It's something that opens and closes and lets you in and lets you out. And if we look at Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, we learn something very, very, very important in the history of Israel. And that is that God laid on his heart to go back to Jerusalem and to fix the wall and to hang gates and doors. And one of the main gates that had to be hung was the Sheep Gate. And just with Pastor Andre, as I was chatting and sharing with him, and he asked me, who were the ones who hung those gates? And I said, the priests. And he said, do you know how significant that is? That they were the ones, not anyone else, not the perfumers, not the jewelers, not anyone else, except the priests were the one to lay the sheep gate. Very significant, since Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Amen? Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Amen. I say that because my husband started this thing now. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Amen means so be it. And I watched Life by Design today and he kept saying, can I have an amen? And I made up my mind, I'm going to get that tonight from the girls. I'm going to get an amen from the girls tonight. So the shepherds in Jerusalem relied on the sheep gate. Can I just say, you know, there's a very, very big difference between shepherds and sheep that are in the Karoo and those who are in Jerusalem. Because now Karoo lamb that we all love, if you love meat, you know, those sheep are reared for their meat. But in Israel, the sheep were reared for their wool. Amen? And so there had to be very responsible shepherds to take care of these sheep. You can't just expect sheep to be eaten, and that's it, because with that went the wool and the future of that sheep's wool. So shepherds were very important in Jerusalem. And many times they laid their lives down. They laid their lives down protecting the sheep. And that's why Jesus could speak the terminology of the day that he did, that sometimes we don't actually understand. But the people of Israel would understand this. And you know, many times as the shepherds would make their way back to the sheep gate, they would be rejoicing because it was like, it's like a savior. Because suddenly the storm clouds are coming, or they can hear a wolf in the background or a lion. And they're so responsible for these sheep that they just want to get them inside through the sheep gate and make sure that they are safe. So the sheep gate was like a place that you wanted to reach for safety and security. Well, we may not like hearing this tonight, girls, but the Bible calls us sheep. We might be cute and cuddly. We're more cute and cuddly than an Israeli sheep. But nevertheless, we are sheep. And whether we know it or not, we are desperate for a shepherd, because there's a void and an emptiness in us until the shepherd of our souls finds us and leads us. Amen? Like the psalmist says in Psalm 23, David, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He refreshes me. Amen. He restores me. He does amazing things for me. We need the shepherd. Amen. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, just to bring the word to what I've just said, we all like sheep have gone astray. each of us turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, that's the Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And I just thought about it, you know, when it says we've all gone astray, it means we've all sinned. We don't like that word, but it's the truth. It's a Bible word. Sin means to miss the mark, to fall short of the glory of God, and we've all done that. And if you look at pictures of Jesus, there's no better loved picture of Jesus than the Good Shepherd, isn't it? Like when you're a child and you're growing up, or when you're first born again, or you come back to Jesus, if you see a picture of Jesus as the shepherd with a little lamb around his neck or just touching a sheep, it endears us to him because he's so caring. Amen. So, you know, underneath all this beauty, the message is about a messy world. We have painted these doors pink because we're girls and we can give expression to our femininity. But underneath the message, it's really an ugly world out there. And you see, this door here is what I would refer to as the main door of my message tonight. On this door, we might see paw prints of sheep desperate to try and get through the sheep gate, because that's where they'd be safe. That is where they'd be warm. That's where they would be taken care of. Amen. And so, yeah, the door of our message was battered and bruised. And, you know, I know that we're celebrating a lovely evening, but I think underneath of what I'm saying is quite a heavy message that the world needs to hear. And I just want to establish, for those who don't know, firstly tonight, that Jesus is both the door and the shepherd. He's both the door and the shepherd. He called himself that. And for those who have encountered him will know the shepherd's touch, will know the shepherd's voice. The voice of the shepherd, the voice of God is what's most important to us. Amen. In John 10 from verse 1, it says, Jesus was teaching and he said, I tell you the truth. The person who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. Speaking of shepherds, okay? The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The one who guards the door opens it for him. And the sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings all his sheep out, he goes ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they don't know his voice. So Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the door for the sheep. All the people who came before me were thieves and robbers. The sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. And the person who enters through me will be saved and will be able to come in and out and find pasture. A thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came to give life, life in all its fullness. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I think that point is perfectly rounded off with all these verses. I don't even need to elaborate on that anymore. Second thought this evening is he is the only and right door to God. He is the only and right door to God because there are many doors. There are many doors. People speak about there is a door of philosophy or a door of a new religion, but actually Jesus never said, I am a door. He said, I am the door. And if you think of the Jewish nation and the mezuzah, what they put on the door frame is very significant. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. There is only one. There is only one God. Amen. And so this is the most important of messages that Jesus taught in a parable form. And because it's a warning to save us, he's like saying, watch out, watch out. I love you. I love your soul. And I want you to spend eternity with me. But you're like sheep. You're all over the show. Then you're here. Then you are there. But listen, be focused on me. I want to save you. Because if you choose another door, it will definitely not be safe. There is no other. And these other doors will not lead to salvation, but my door will lead you to salvation. I travel quite often, as many of you might do as well. And when I do, I am always like looking for the safe in the room when I get there. I want to put my passport there. I want to put my wedding ring there. I want to put my wallet there. I don't know about you. Once bitten, twice shy. I carried my passport in my handbag, went out for dinner a couple of years ago, and my bag got stolen, and that was that. So the safe is very important. And the amazing thing about a safe is that anything that we put in there is secure, it's out of harm's way, and it is protected. And there's a message in that. You know, we spend millions, companies, even this church, we spend a lot of money on security cameras, on security guards, on alarms, don't we?
Yeah.
To keep us safe. But somehow, when it comes to our eternal security, we do not take it all that seriously. Have you noticed we care very much for the body, and so we should. And husbands should care for their wives, and, you know, parents should care for their children's safety. Certainly I do. But, you know, there is something that we should take far more seriously, and that is where we will spend eternity after we leave this world. In fact, people hate us when we try and warn them to keep their souls safe. Maybe there's also a message in how we go about it. Perhaps we need to learn some grace and some love in our approach with how we do it. A salesperson who wants to sell you maybe an alarm system or a diamond ring or whatever, a car, will not pounce on you, well, they shouldn't, and put you right off. And the same with how we share and warn people. It should be done with love and with mercy and with care. Amen. Jesus spoke with real care. He spoke a stern word in this instance, but it was done as a shepherd to sheep who need to be led to a place of safety. You know, we try and pass the truth on to people. We try and give them keys to salvation, but it is a struggle, amen? And sometimes we win and sometimes we don't, but you just never know. You sow that seed. So what we saw on the screen tonight, I know there was a lot going on, and you'll get your magazine afterwards, but there truly is a story. The only thing that was missing in the magazine is we needed a couple of sheep. But anyway, we trust you're going to just bear with us on that one. So, you know, on the screen, you saw one girl handing the keys to the next and then passing it on to the next until the girl that was kind of the last one in through the door held up the keys like, I'm ready. Who is next? Who will take the keys next from me, because I have found the door, and here are the keys, here's a key to unlock that door, amen? The girls who first found the door, they had encountered the door, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? They found that it was the right door, and it was a door where they found that they belonged, and we are speaking this here so much on belonging. If you want to belong to the fold, you need to find the door. You need to find the key, the word of God, that will unlock that door. You know, they understood the benefits of the door. That's why they had these big, wide smiles as this girl approached them to hand over the key. They knew its safety. They knew its security. They encountered the beauty of the door. They walked differently. They talked differently because they had been with Jesus. There was just something different about them. Amen. Can you see it's beyond the pink little doors behind me? Amen. It's like the door of doors. Amen. The Lord of Lords. They had the right door, and they had encountered him, and they had joy. Third thought is, there are counterfeits that pretend to be the door. This world is filled with counterfeits. And Pastor Andre and I were what we consider our search for truth. There was so much available to us. There were cults. There were other religions. We even thought we'll find a guru in India. I think that's why God just keeps bringing Indian people to Rivers Church. Because because he knew that we didn't mind where we went to find truth. We were desperate for the truth. But you know, Jesus, the shepherd of our souls, was teaching again in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, and he warned, he said, beware of false prophets who come disguised, how's this, as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. Another translation says they are wolves in sheep's clothing. Amen. Beware. Because many people in Jesus' time and before Jesus' time came pretending to be that door, to be that shepherd. You know, and they led many people astray, and they still do to this day. People are led astray. But none of them did the miracles that Jesus did. None of them was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of this world. Amen? How can anyone compare to him? You know, how can anyone dare to be his equal? We sang tonight. He has no rival. He has no equal. There is none like him. He's not just a teacher. We don't need teachers. Teachers who just teach us something and there it ends, like a dead end street. We need the teacher who himself laid down his life and rose again, amen, who is the door, the only door, the shepherd, the only shepherd of our souls. Now, we may encounter a door and it may even look like the right door. Like, we've got doors here tonight, so I call this the true door. But if you look here, this is quite similar. This could be a new philosophy that presents itself. And this one could be like a new religion that sometimes what they call new is something old that's just laid dormant for like a couple of years and then suddenly it presents itself again, you know. But really, these are counterfeits. You know, Satan comes as an angel of light and fools people, right? And so the enemy may present doors to us, but they're not the real way. Proverbs 14 says, there is a way which seems right to a man and appears straight before him, but at the end of it is the way of death. And sadly, very often at the end of one's life, you realize, oh my goodness, I'm afraid of dying. I have fear of death. I don't feel good because you don't have the peace that a believer has. I mean, there's a difference with when we transition from this life and we step through a door to eternity with Jesus waiting right there for us. And sadly, sometimes people chose a wrong door. How sad are we for them? We're not condemning them. Very often people actually condemn themselves by just the choices that sadly that they make. But we care and we want to pass on. We want to pass on the keys, the truth. And we don't want to condemn and argue with people. In fact, we encourage in the Word of God that arguments don't take us anywhere. In fact, our lives speak louder than words. Our love, our fruit is what makes us attractive to the world. And people are drawn to us and we can work with that. That's the gift from God to us. Amen? You know, the enemy comes and he says, you know, this door, this true door, not that he'll ever call it the true door, it looks so dull and boring. You know, you must try these other doors. It's full of life and the party is there. What a lie. That's such a lie. Actually, the party is right here. Check us out. For centuries, I believe the enemy kept creativity outside of the kingdom of God. It was sinful and wrong, and artists were weird. But actually, the biggest creator is our Lord God in heaven, who created heaven and earth. The beautiful birds, the ocean, the fish, the colors, the flowers, the beautiful people made in his image of God. Amen? And the enemy has lied to us and told us it is worldly to be creative and do what we've just done tonight. Well, I love what we did tonight. And I think it opened our hearts and it made us celebrate our womanhood and enjoy who we are, because we know who we are and whose we are. Amen? We belong to him. 1 John 3 verse 8 says, in terms of the fact that Jesus came to undo the lies of the enemy for those who have our eyes opened and our ears opened, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen? For this reason, Christ came to destroy the works of the evil one in our lives. And that happens when we go through the door. He has no more hold on us. He has no more power over us. We belong to the shepherd of our souls. Amen? Caring, loving. Amen? Can I have an amen? Fourth thought. Did I give you three already?
Yes.
Okay. The Bible gives us keys to unlock the door. I've alluded to it. Knowledge from God's word opens the door. You see, you can stand in front of another door with no knowledge of God's word and you'll go through the wrong door. But you can stand, have a choice at the right door because you've positioned yourself there through what you've heard was said to you. You know, how will people know unless someone tells them? We are the mouthpieces of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the bearers of good news, not bad news. Take that cigarette out of your mouth and listen, your makeup is far too heavy and, you know, the word of God says, thou shalt repent or thou shalt burn in hell. No ways. Please, if you do that, you don't know me. Amen? It's the truth that sets us free. You know, my safe, when I go to a holiday, on holiday or travel, not my safe, but the safe in the hotel, will open when I key in the right code. It has to be the right code. You might as well say it's the true code. It's like it has a truth about it. I chose that code and it has to obey me when I press those buttons. Amen? And the word is God's truth and it's the right code that we need. People have come and they've tried to distort the word of God, rewrite the word of God, leave men out of the word of God. Just have a Bible with just women. She, her. Leave all men out. Or whatever they choose to take, you know, from God's word. We cannot take a dot of our I or a crossing of a T out of the word of God. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. We cannot alter this word. The code is true. It works. It unlocks the door. My good works will never unlock that door. My good works are as filthy rags. That's what the word of God teaches. But the truth, the voice of God, this is like the voice of God. It has a true ring about it. When people come and they quote the word out of, like, wrong, incorrectly, we immediately know it's got a wrong ring about it. It's not the code by which we walk and by which we live. Amen? We recognize the true ring. So the word of God brings the knowledge. You know, we saw the girls in a maze. Psalm 88, it's in your magazine, it's not in your notes, but you know, it's like the psalmist is saying, I'm caught in this maze. It's like, I don't know my way out. That's what all of us have experienced. We've been caught in a maze of this world and we don't know the way out. And then we see that as the girls were running, they found their way out and they saw, oh, in the maze, right in the maze is this door. And they were drawn to the door and they ran to the door. They had the keys to the door. Amen? He is the only way. John 14 says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me, through the door of who I am. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. I've shared with you how the girls have handed on the truth. They passed on the truth. And they did it with love, and they did it lovingly. So let's help others unlock the door, amen, with the truth. Let's help others. Let's be of help to people. Let's kill them with love, if you could call it that. Let's smother them with kindness, with love. When they have a setback, when they have a burglary, when they lose a job, when one of their kids go off the rails, don't gather in little groups. Ooh, did you hear? No, the one that came first in class, and use it as a moment to dig in and enjoy a morsel of gossip that goes down and turns yucky on the inside of your soul and spirit. Amen? Love people. Amen? To wholeness. Be kind. Be forgiving. That's all, everything that the Word teaches us to do. The code of His Word is true. We can't choose, I'll choose this one and I will choose that one, but I don't actually like that one. That's too hard. You see, the enemy comes with this door and he says, you know what? This door is easy, very easy. It's like the easy way out. This door, you don't want to go there. Well, Jesus said, you know, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You see, the liar comes with lies to deceive people that the way of Christ is difficult. If it was, I don't think I would have lasted 44 years. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I can run to Him for safety. He's the carer and lover of my soul as He is yours. Amen? So in closing this evening, there's another very important door. It's none of these three that I have behind me, but the Bible speaks about it. Number five, it's the door of your heart. When I was 20 years of age, Pastor Andre and I had already been married for 11 months. Did you think weeks? Definitely not years. We had only been married for 11 months. Our oldest son, Donovan, was already 6 months. But we were invited. There was this beautiful girl that I write about in Small Beginnings that has now gone to be with the Lord, Sheila. And she was like one of these girls. You know, she had the keys. She was 4 months ahead of me in salvation. I started this new job. And at the time, maybe you studying with this group of people, but we were studying with the Jehovah Witnesses. Prior to that, we had a guru, Praktivedante, someone or the other, that Pastor Andre used to bow to, pictures of, and something in me just wouldn't do it because I'd gone to Sunday school, as did he. But maybe one listened, the other one maybe didn't listen. But I share this with you just to tell you how the journey can be for people. And so it was transcendental meditation, it was LSD, it was a joint every night, and singing to the stars and playing his violin, and just a journey in our very young days. But the reason we were studying with the Jehovah Witnesses is because I knocked on the door one day, and I know this is not the norm for what they would normally do, but for some or other reason they said, we come door to door and we teach the Bible. So a few weeks before that happened, I said to Andre, I want to learn the Bible. So as time went, they handed out the Good News Bible at his work, and he came home and he chucked the Bible onto the bed and he said, there's the Bible, you wanted to study the Bible. Very nice. And so I started reading the Bible, but I struggled to understand it, and I needed someone to teach us the Bible. Knock, knock, knock. I'm not at home. He is. We teach the Bible. Yes, my wife wants to learn the Bible. No? So for 3 months, we studied with the Jehovah Witnesses. And I'm so glad that we did, because I learned so much in that time. But all I know is I just felt as dead as I always was and confused as I always was on the inside. Sorry, but that's the truth before the Lord. Then I started this new job, and I got into the lift with this girl, and God spoke to her, and He allowed her to dream about me that night. And in the dream, He said to her, "Tell that girl what you know about me and the one that she loves." And then, of course, then she's only a four-month-old Christian baby, and she's like trying to buy stuff at Greatermans where I'm working, and I think I'll when I get paid, I'll take that one. And she's trying her best, buying nothing, and trying to sell me something, Christianity. And then finally, we had tea together, and she shared her story with tears in her eyes, and it was so beautiful. And she invited us to church, and with fear and trembling, I went home to this husband of mine, who doesn't want anything to do with the Bible because of the school he went to and his experience that he'll have to tell you. And long story short, we made our way to church, and the pastor was preaching, and he said, "Inside of you is your heart. Not your literal beating heart, but it's your soul, your spirit. And it's in the form of a heart. And inside of your heart is a door. But the door does not have a handle on the outside. It's not like this that you can take the handle and open the door. The person who owns that heart has to open the door. And Jesus is standing at the door of your heart tonight. And He's knocking on the door. And He's saying, 'Look, here I am. Open up so that I may come in, that I may dine with you.' What does that mean? That I may commune with you, that I may be part of your life." Amen? Here we see Revelation 3:20. "Look at me. I stand at the door. I knock." If you hear me, are you hearing Him tonight? "And call and open the and hear me call and open the door. I'll come right in and sit down and to supper with you." And I want to tell you that that's exactly, I was so ready. I was so ready. I was with people who were different. They'd been with Jesus. Their walk was different. Their talk was different. There was a lightness in the room. It wasn't a particularly beautiful looking church. It was traditional, and there were organs, but these hippies were playing guitars and playing bongos, and it was multicultural, the picture of heaven to us. It wasn't just a white church. It was multinational, and it was beautiful, and it was like the joy bells were ringing for me, and I thought, I'm going to put my hand up. I'm going to respond because I'm opening the door of my heart to let Jesus in, to be my Lord and to be my Savior. And as I did that, I thought to myself, even if this means that Andre divorces me, but I want this so much. I want him so much. And to my surprise, as my bangles were jiggling, and giving away the game, I heard another sound next to me going jiggle. And I looked, and his hand was up, and he had tears in his eyes. And as we come to this moment where we're looking at this last door, the door of your heart, Jesus is the door you go through. Amen? But you need to open the door of your heart. It's not just a code by which you have abracadabra thing and in you go and now I'm in the kingdom. No, it's a supernatural, spiritual experience. What the Bible calls to be born again of the Spirit and of truth.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed and inspired by this ministry.